This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
This week on Rewind, your week in review. Democrats host a series of events to keep abortion access in the spotlight after Republicans reject Governor Evers' special session focused on the issue. Plus, a victory for conservatives after a Waukesha judge rules voters can't spoil their absentee ballot, while election officials believe the decision is unlawful. And the countdown is on for the first televised U.S. Senate debate. We have you covered on what to expect. All this and more on Rewind, your week in review for October 7th.
Hi, I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
J.R., we're going to start with what actually happened at the state capitol this week. There's not a lot of action that typically happens, as lawmakers have said. They don't plan to come on back. But, of course, the governor called a special session basically to create a pathway towards repealing Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. So, by no surprise, Republicans did not act. They quickly gaveled in and gaveled out. But what was the bigger picture, though, is this kind of turned into putting abortion back in the spotlight. We've talked about mostly that these special sessions are two-day stories, but Democrats also held a rally outside to really kind of emphasize and energize voters heading into the midterms, basically saying, you know, we're here. We want to keep this as a top issue. Will it work? Remains to be seen. Also, there were kind of dueling press conferences going on. We had Governor Evers out there campaigning, saying that he's going to, you know, defend abortion access if he's reelected. Meanwhile, Tim Michaels, his Republican opponent, held an event in Baraboo. He got the endorsement from the Tavern League, and he kind of doubled down on his reversal statements that he made a few weeks ago, saying that all of a sudden now, if a bill reached his desk, if elected, he would sign a bill that would add exceptions for rape and incest to Wisconsin's criminal abortion ban. Now, he's changed stance on this a few times, but let's just first take a listen to Governor Evers basically painting a picture to voters what would happen if Michaels was elected, and then Michaels kind of talking about why he would sign that bill if elected.
Our state will look very different if we elect Tim Michaels. He'll let doctors go to jail for doing their jobs. He'll let the 1849 ban be the law of the land, and he'll stop our lawsuit from going forward. And he won't bring the legislature down here to consider legislation to expand your freedoms. He'll bring them into session to restrict access even further. We cannot afford to have Wisconsin become the worst state in the union.
So I've been very clear and consistent throughout that I am pro-life, and I make no apologies for that. What I said a few weeks ago is if a bill came to my desk and that included exceptions for rape and incest, that I would sign that. Why? Because the people have spoken. The legislature is the representative of the people. So if the people bring that before me, I understand that it is not an authoritarian government.
So the argument with Republicans right now, and Tim Michaels also said this at his event, is that, yes, abortion is an issue, but he's still trying to change the story to crime, inflation. Mm-hmm. That's what's top of mind of voters. So we kind of have this dueling, top issues that both candidates are talking about on the campaign trail.
The question is, we're getting farther away from the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. So how much juice does this issue still have? Especially when we're 1 month and 1 day out from November. This was obviously a day of abortion for Democrats. They timed the special session call, Governor Evers did, for 100 days out from the Dobbs decision. They had the rally. Mandela Barnes, running for U.S. Senate, was doing a row tour, essentially, of Wisconsin this past week, knocking Ron Johnson on abortion. They wanted to kind of take a day to highlight this issue, marking that 100th day out from the decision. Now, looking at various polls, we've seen this kind of mixed message about what's most important. Crime and inflation have been above abortion. As we've talked before, it's been more about who do those issues move. I mean, if abortion is moving the right people, that's a big deal. And we just don't know this far off in the election what's going to happen. Republicans have tried to push back somewhat on this, besides talking about, you know, crime and inflation, asking, like, for example, Mandela Barnes, what is your limit? Like, where's the line be drawn? Remember, pre-Dobbs decision, Wisconsin law banned abortion after 20 weeks. Should the limit be 20, 25, 30? What's your limit, Mandela? And that question hasn't been answered by him in public appearances he made this past week. Again, just wondering, where is this going to go from here, and where is it where is it on the mind of voters November 8th? I just really don't have a good feel for that right now.
And is it shifting the independent voters, mm-hmm. right? So the statewide polling from last month's MU Marquette Law School poll said 83% of voters support adding exceptions for rape or incest. But overall, I mean, we're going to see another poll next week by Marquette as well to see if the independents are shifting towards either candidate. And maybe it's that issue, you know, will remain to be seen.
Remember we talked about gas? Gas $4.20 a gallon
gas is going
in Madison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, there are a couple things going on, right? There's like refineries that caught on fire and some other stuff. Then it'll go back down. But that brings that inflation issue back up more, right? The higher gas prices go, the more it's a daily reminder of what's going on that front.
Right. And the Journal Sentinel also reported this week that Ron Johnson issued his own ballot referendum about abortion. He's been asked a lot about this on the campaign trail because he has supported federal legislation to ban abortions in the past on a federal level. But he said that, well, I got this this referendum. Let's take it to the voters. Now, it lists 10 options, as you can see there, from banning abortion at the moment of conceptions to each month of pregnancy up until the eighth month or just never at all that an unborn child has no right to life. Now, but right now, voters can't change the laws through mm-hmm. statewide referendums. That's kind of what Governor Evers, I mean, that's what he was proposing through his special session. So there looks like there's some agreement between a top Republican and a top Democrat on this issue, but you got to change the laws in order to put this issue in front of voters. You know, we saw this happen in Kansas. It was a success in some people's mm-hmm. lens that even though it's a red state, voters objected to a referendum like this. So, and this is once again, Johnson is arguing that, sure, we could talk about this, but he is also pushing the crime inflation is still top of mind of voters.
There is no way to have this referendum be binding. So in theory, Ron Johnson could go out and campaign to get every municipality to put this on the ballot at some point at the same time, and we could have Wisconsin voters finally weigh in on where they really are at on the issue, which would mean nothing with the state legislature. There's no way to bind them to do anything. The way to do that would be to go through direct referendum, which Evers is talking about. Republicans will not do that, however, because that would open the door to whatever voters want to do. They're not interested in that. Oh, by the way, with Tim Michaels and his position, like he'd sign that bill would never get through the Republican caucuses in the Assembly and the Senate right now because you have members who don't want to add any more exceptions in life of the mother to state law. If you can't get the majority vote from your caucus in the Republican caucuses, you don't go to the floor. Would Democrats even entertain voting for adding those exceptions when they want the law to be done general? Mm-hmm. Evers was asked this week, would you support, you know, adding those kind of exceptions? Like, I don't want to talk about that. I want this to be gone, period. So I just don't see a scenario where Tim Michaels would even get that bill. He says he would sign if it came to his desk.
And Johnson is also noting that this is just a sample referendum, mm-hmm. like we just talked about. Let's just take a listen to him. He was at the Rotary Club in Milwaukee earlier this week talking about this referendum. Let's take a listen.
Nine justices couldn't decide. I don't think 535 members of Congress should decide. I don't think 132 members of the Wisconsin State Legislature should decide this for Wisconsin. I think if you take a look at general polling, most Americans believe at some point in time, it's probably in the 15 to 20 week range, and I don't know. We haven't put the question to the people. That's what we need to do. At what point does society have the responsibility to protect life? I've got my own views. You all have your own views, too. Now, what I'd like is one vote as part of maybe three and a half million votes in Wisconsin to determine what that point would be. And I've actually got a sample referendum, a sample ballot on how we do that. 10 choices.
Before we move on to the next topic, it's also important to note that Ron Johnson does support exceptions for rape and incest. He has said that publicly, but this ballot referendum actually didn't even ask that question mm-hmm. at all. Moving on to some election news this week, there was a lawsuit that successfully ruled in conservatives' favor. It was kind of election integrity group that brought forth this suit that basically sided with conservatives that prohibited voters from spoiling their ballot. That is a term used that if you already cast your absentee ballot, you maybe changed your mind, or you made an error on it, or you're watching these negative ads and you're like, oh, I want to change my mind, you can cancel that original ballot and request a new one at your clerk's office. This was an option that became very popular, JR, during the primary leading up when we had Republican gubernatorial candidate Kevin Nicholson drop out of the race, and then three Democrats in the U.S. Senate race essentially clearing the field for Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So that's when clerks basically were told, hey, here's the process of how to void a ballot and how to, you know, respond to a request if a voter is asking for this. Well, Brad Schimmel, who is now a Waukesha County judge and former Republican Attorney General, said, well, you can't do that. Once you have voted, you are done. So this has been an issue. Another issue Republicans are trying to go after and Lou in frustrations over many rules around absentee ballots. And we'll see what happens with this. But my sense after talking to some clerks, JR, is that they don't think this is going to be held up. Claire Woodall Vogue, who is the head of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, she doesn't think it has any standing. She referenced some state statutes that says, voters should be allowed to be able to request a new one. So we'll kind of see what happens here. But once again, another rule changing happening less than 5 weeks before Election Day.
I think a bigger deal is going to be these ongoing suits about what constitutes an address for a witness on an absentee ballot envelope. I don't really know if people are going to change their minds about this election in the closing weeks. What would change your mind at this point? You've seen so many negative ads in both of the Senate and governor's races. But in those other lawsuits about what address should be accepted, we have a hearing going on right now, actually, in Dane County Court. Interesting to note that the plaintiffs in the lawsuit to ban ballot curing by clerks that were successful have filed a motion to move the Dane County case to Waukesha County, arguing that the judge who ruled you can't cure ballots should have this issue because it's related to his decision and will negate his decision. Got to watch that. I don't believe that's going to be talked about at today's hearing, but keep an eye on that. Separate lawsuit filed with Legal Women Voters. Same issue, also in Dane County. It's no coincidence the people who want a more loose description of an address are going to Dane County. Those who want a more strict one are going to Waukesha County. I can give you two reasons why. but that's I think, a bigger deal. And again, I don't know how big a deal it's going to be come election day because we've voted absentee several times now. You would think people are getting better at it. There'll be fewer mistakes. As I've said, if there's a different standard by different communities, and there's a small margin on a race, and a community A said, here's our standard, and people can challenge ballots because of that standard, you will see a lawsuit. So worst case scenario right now for us of why you might need a definition with what an address is.
And we're also just seeing this other trend where judges typically, I guess what's typical anymore, right, don't rule and make these decisions so close to an election. But ever since 2020, we're having changes up until sometimes the last final days before an election, which really just puts clerks and election officials in a really tough spot, trying to change, trying to notify the public as well. So might also be some strategy there from Republicans as well. All right. Also this week, Tim Michaels at his stop in Baraboo, he also was asked whether or not he'd be open to supporting a flat tax. So he signaled he would be open to it, but he also said he doesn't want to raise taxes on low-income residents. It was actually in response to a supporter there who brought up inflation in general. So once again, we're kind of seeing Tim Michaels trying to change the story of, here's abortion. Yes, I got asked these questions, but let's switch over to more people care about, their pocketbook issues. So we'll see where this happens. The tax rates start right now at 3.54% and go up to 7.65%. And Evers, of course, supports more of a progressive income tax to have the wealthiest pay more. So there's all these proposals, all these ideas out there, but we'll see what actually sticks and what he can work with the legislature if elected as well.
I think Michael said around 5%.
Yeah.
Without raising taxes on people. The challenge is what's around, right? Because less than 4% is not really around 5 to some people. That's a challenge of what a flat tax would be. If you set it at a level that increases taxes on the lowest income people, you're going to get hammered about that. And talk to Republican lawmakers. They are ginned up to do some kind of tax cut with this massive surplus that we have. Question, what's it look like? The top rate in Wisconsin is 7.65%. There is definitely a feeling among Republicans of, we should address that because it makes us uncompetitive for higher income earners in certain businesses. The problem is, for Republicans, that kind of a tax cut benefits the wealthy disproportionately, and you're going to get hammered by that message-wise for going in to give it a tax cut to the wealthy. For Republicans, are also going to go, well, our maps are pretty good. We've got a pretty good margin right now. We could maybe take that hit because it would be good in their minds for the business community to have that kind of a change. If Governor Evers is reelected, I don't know he'd be a big fan of that kind of a tax cut. Mm-hmm. All his verbiage has been about middle-class tax cuts, you know, continuing what he's been doing so far, which is ratcheting down those lower brackets. So there's your conversation. You'll also see some people say, let's go away with the income tax in Wisconsin, period. I don't know that has the juice right now. Also, there's a massive financial hit.
Right.
We have a good chunk of the money to do it now, but if you do that, do you replace it with a higher state sales tax? Because most places that don't have an income tax, like Texas, I think is the sales tax is above 8%. So that's how they get the revenue. That would be also problematic because the sales tax is regressive. The higher it goes, the more it hits people who are lower ends of the income spectrum.
And we're about to take a listen from Michaels talking about this flat tax. He, of course, was asked the question and didn't really give a clear answer. And he hasn't really responded to a lot of follow-up questions when we ask these questions at these campaign events. So we're getting minimal details. But there is one proposal that he has voiced support for, which would be eliminating the personal property tax. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a listen to Tim Michaels kind of explaining how he envisions working with people if he were to consider a flat income tax.
I'm going to sit down with all the smart tax people. We're going to figure out how low we can get the income tax. Right now, it looks like we could get it somewhere just below 5%. If you had a flat tax at that number, the tax level would actually come up for those on the lowest income bracket. I do not want to raise the taxes on anyone.
All right, moving on from taxes. Mm-hmm. Maybe people will be watching tonight. I know me and you will be, JR. The first televised U.S. Senate debate between Mandela Barnes and Ron Johnson. They'll be dueling it out from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. It will be held at 7 p.m. at Milwaukee's PBS station. I mean, we think we know what the themes that we'll be hearing about, crime, inflation, abortion. But I think what we're looking for is, we've talked about the show many times before, is those maybe, you know, commercial ad moments. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be going after each other? You know, we know from the primary on the Democratic candidates in the U.S. Senate, no one took shots at each other. I think there's going to be a lot of shots fired here in this debate as well, but we'll see.
So big things. One, how's Mandela Barnes hold up in this kind of a forum? Ron Johnson has run for Senate twice before. He's been through debates with Russ Feingold, who was known as an orator in the U.S. Senate, right? Mandela Barnes does not have that background. Johnson's been through it before. How does Barnes perform? There are high stakes for him. He could also, though, kind of refute the allegation from Johnson of hiding from the media, not trying to answer questions, being vague about things, if he can answer those questions. For Johnson, look, he'll go any form, anywhere, and talk about anything you ask.
Right.
He's got the lines down. He knows what he wants to talk about. If you and I wanted to, we could sketch out five topics and probably recite the lines we're going to hear from Barnes and Johnson verbatim. Because we've heard them before, like they've been in their ads. What I'm watching for is there a moment, a gaffe, a moment that can kind of change the trajectory of the race? Probably not. It has to be a pretty bad one right now. But Barnes, he has the opportunity to kind of like push back on some narratives and maybe get some ground made up in this race, because obviously the polls have shown momentum toward Johnson. We've looked at ad spending in the race. It is tilted toward Republicans. There is a challenge for Barnes to overcome that paid media. This is not something that's going to be seen as often as the commercials in Milwaukee TV are going to, like tonight, right? But if you hold serve, get good media coverage out of it, it could be something good for you.
Right, and this is one of a few that we're going to see them on the debate stage, but this is the first. So really just kind of seeing how Mandela Barnes performs in this, because like you mentioned, Ron Johnson is a very polished politician. Mm-hmm. He's been through this before, and he's ready to go. All right, let's get to stock picks this week. Rising room taxes as businesses are really rebounding from COVID right now.
So interesting, Wisconsin Policy Forum did a look at the top 75 municipalities. So state law allows you to have this tax on room rentals up to 8%. I think the median is like 5.5, somewhere around there. What they found was that 2021 isn't available statewide yet, but looking at those top 75 municipalities, it's up dramatically from 2020. Obviously, we're bouncing back from COVID. Same time, it's still down somewhat from 2019, last year before COVID hit, unless you take out Madison and Milwaukee. Take out those two, and the other 73 are actually up compared to 2019. The challenge for Madison and Milwaukee is they're more reliant on business travel, right? So tourist areas are back to kind of like where they were pre-COVID, but that business travel component has not bounced back yet. Milwaukee has a lot of conventions. So does Madison. Those things are still kind of coming back a little bit. So it's just something to watch. Also note that once this revenue kind of went away, you know, you just had to do a lot of things. Like, for example, Madison had to cut funding to the Monona Terrace, right? Mm-hmm. They were able to use federal COVID funds to backfill some of the lost revenue. That has to be used by end of 2024. So there is a cliff coming that if you can't get back to normal and get these things kind of working again, you're going to lose that opportunity to use federal money to make it some of it up.
And most of the new norm now, too, is people working from home or doing the virtual Teams meeting, the Zooms meeting. So you're not going to have to travel and be physically in Madison unless you're maybe signing a document or need to have that lunch with someone and make those connections. So that's also weighing on that as well. Mixed this week is Mandela Barnes. I mean, massive, massive fundraising numbers from him in the third quarter, over $20 million his campaign is reporting.
So look, this was an announcement, right?
Correct.
So we don't have the actual report yet to see how he raised it and how much he had in the bank. But Barnes announced $20.1 million raised between July 1st and September 30th. Now, to be a little geek here for a second about finance reports, we kind of saw the first 3 weeks of this period before. Federal candidates from Wisconsin have to file a pre-primary report. So he had raised like $900,000, a little bit less than that, in that first piece of July. This covers all of July through September 30th. So even after July 20th, he raised $20 million in 2 months and 10 days. That is crazy money. To put it in perspective, Tammy Baldwin, in the same three-month period in 2018, raised $6 million. In 2016, Ron Johnson raised less than $4 million. All right? So this is a number I have never seen before in a Senate race. But the question is it enough to change a trajectory? Again, we talked about the TV spending. Ad Impact tracks TV ads. We've subscribed to them to see what's going on. There's a heavy tilt in Republicans' favor. You've seen the ads. They are pounding Mandela Barnes on the airwaves about crime, radical leftists, you know, all these inflammatory things, showing him with the quote-unquote squad, Bernie Sanders, all that kind of good stuff. With this kind of money, you know, Barnes can really put a really good message on the air, if he can, you know, pick one, and push back on this stuff. While that's happening, the Circle Firing Squad has begun already in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. You're seeing national stories of reporters coming in looking at the Senate race and going, oh, talking to Democrat A, B, and C, where they say, well, Tom Nelson, for example, who ran for U.S. Senate, said Barnes is losing, should fire his media team. You have Democrats questioning the tactics, the media. I had one Republican argue this week, actually, Barnes is running a great campaign. It's he's the wrong candidate in the wrong year. Right? So you've got a guy who is a progressive. Mandela Barnes is a liberal. Like, I'm not saying that as a bad thing.
Right.
He's a liberal. This is a year about crime. He is not the right candidate, the Republican argued, to run in a crime year because of his positions that are progressive about crime issues. Now, doesn't mean he can't win. And this money's an opportunity to maybe change the trajectory of that race in a significant way. But the clock is ticking. And that's why the stakes of the debate are very high. There's one next week as well. There's an opportunity for him maybe to do something to change things up.
I've heard kind of the same thing from a lot of Republicans, is that he seemed like the perfect fit. The candidate, you know, comes from the Milwaukee suburbs, kind of rose up in his family, you know, focused on the middle class, is always touts where his family is, his upbringing as well. And it's just not the right temperature, like you said. I mean, and the past statements that he made when he was lieutenant governor, also his time in the state legislature, is really just coming back to bite him. I mean, we know how campaigns work. They will dig up a lot of things on you and try to find anything that you say at these campaign events as you're, you know, even just starting your run. So that's definitely something, the stuff that he's being hit for is what we're going to be seeing in this debate as well.
And I want to stress, I'm not saying this race is over by any means, right, or that Ron Johnson salted away. We are a purple state. If Ron Johnson gets above 52%, on election day, people would be surprised because we were so divided. So there is still that narrow band of people actually will move to change because Ron Johnson is not well liked. Look at the polls. He has high unfavorable ratings for all things that he said over the years, right? But Barnes has got to use his money wisely in the final weeks.
And we've said before, maybe voters are voting who do you hate the least in this race.
Absolutely.
Because of just how negative it has gotten. Falling this week is worker compensation cost, JR.
Yeah, so there's a study about how much it's costing to do these procedures if you have a workers' comp claim. They went down last year looked at compared to the several years prior. It wasn't a huge drop, but I wanted to use that to bounce off of this issue that's been percolating capital for a long time. And that is in Wisconsin. If you are hurt on the job, you have a workers' comp claim, to get treated, it costs more on average per procedure in Wisconsin than other states, but it costs less for your overall case. And so you have these two titans in the capital, the business community and the medical community, who've duked it out for years about whether to cap costs on procedures. So for example, if you have to have a finger surgery, right? They would come in and say, that surgery is going to cost this much, that's how much you can charge for it, period. The medical community doesn't want that to happen, right? Mm-hmm. They don't like that. And they argue that your quality of care that offsets that procedure. The business community says, we are seeing rising costs all the time. It's hurting our business community. We need to see a cap on these costs. To get something done, however, so there's an advisory council that does recommendations, labor management. They have talked about this in the past, but the medical community stands in the way of it, saying you're not going to do this. It's just a fascinating standoff of two titans in the Capitol that I don't know will ever get resolved. But it's something to watch. It really didn't come up this session. It'll probably pick up again next session. Just keep an eye on that debate as it goes forward.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Emily Fannin.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
We'll see you next week.
This program was brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.